I think very much that Spencer Rattler is the more ready prospect between the two. Obviously, Spencer has had a good 6 games of starting experience last year and everything, and he's, you know, seen more time in the NFL. And if I'm going to throw a guy to the NFL Wolves, if you will, I want him to at least have seen the game before. But even though he's, in my opinion, the better option right now, I think the Saints are going to go to Tyler Shuck pretty soon. I've been pretty convinced that Tyler Shuck is going to be their week one starter and that they're going to give him the opportunity. The question is, how long of a leash will he have and how long are they going to be willing to be patient?
Ross Jackson, our guest from last segment on the Saints, the Bills' week four opponent. If you missed that, you can find that on demand. WGR550.com. Tyler Shuck, who all the people that make the little headlines for First Take on ESPN are going to have a field day with all the potential puns with Shuck.
Shuck in the sand.
Even though if you don't...
Yeah.
Let's take a call.
I could be their cry... What is it? What are they called? The Cryons?
Is that what they're called? Like the people who write... Wait.
Chiron?
Is that what they call... do they call the tickers at the bottom? It's like C.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. This would be a great time to have Jeremy here.
Because
Jeremy would know what it is.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I think you got to be over 34 years old to know.
And does Owen, do you know what these are? I don't know.
Because
we don't really have them on our YouTube stream.
The like headlines at the bottom, right? Like, you know, when they got wearing in the news, it's like.
The ticker?
Yeah, like, but it's called like a.
It's called something.
Crawler?
Crying. It's like
crawler?
No. It's like Chiron or something.
I should probably know.
You should, if anyone.
Chiron. Chiron.
I knew I was close.
Look at I've never.
Whether that's how you say it, I don't know.
Professionals over here.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
We're radio.
Watching.
Yeah, right.
You can watch us on YouTube, though, now, of course. And I did. The chat had it. The chat did have it. Sebastian had it in the chat. So
yeah.
He got it first, I think.
That's
right. All right. Let's go back to the phones. Alex has been waiting very patiently on a Sabres thought. What's up, Alex?
Hey, boys. Thanks for having me on. No trouble waiting.
Sure.
I'm going to take a page out of Nate's book today and actually skip the Sabres talk because it's a nice day.
Okay.
Why ruin it?
The only thing I'll say, which I think is important context when we talk about the Sabres, is that according to ChatGPT, average cap space in the NHL right now is $8 million. I think median cap space is around $12 million. So I just think that's important context, not to defend the Sabres and Kevin Adams,
okay,
but something to note. Stick to the Bills. First on Kincaid, second on Curtis Samuel in the receiver room more generally. With Kincaid, I think there's a conversation that he just didn't get enough targets or enough usage, and that's part of the conversation there. But to me, I've been saying this for a long time, Joe. I think you touched on it this week. He just lacks the physical traits of the top tight ends in this league. He's not strong. He's not overly fast. He's not powerful at all. And I just think the eye test is like, he can be a serviceable player in this league. But if we're ever expecting him to develop into one of those top tight ends, I just don't think it's going to happen. I think him sitting out of the combine really helped him. I think if he tested, he probably wouldn't have been a first round pick. And then next, I see a lot of chatter from the media on Curtis Samuel and how he might be on the bubble, a cut candidate. And I don't see that at all. I think he really, really came on strong last year, specifically in the playoffs. He serves a really important role on this team. And people have brought up that Elijah Moore might make him more expendable. To me, that's not the case. I think, you know, if anything, this team needs more guys that could beat man coverage. And at the end of the season, on third down, they looked to Curtis Samuel a lot.
Yeah.
So those are my 2 points.
I think
take it where you will. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Alex, for the call. Samuel, they do have to, I think, create a little bit more cap room, but really, they don't do that by removing Samuel from the roster. There's not a cap. $430,000 is what they save by releasing
him.
It's basically the same. So It's he would have you, to, and then you would actually spend more than $430,000 on a rookie contract for his replacement by a couple hundred thousand. So it doesn't really matter.
He would have to have a disastrous camp, and then someone else would have to be like.
And I don't see that happen. I think he could get injured again.
I think their top five is locked. I think their top five is locked.
I'm pretty much in agreement with you.
And
it would
be
very hard for me to see anybody, Shavers or anybody else, removing anybody out of that top five.
I don't think Elijah Moore is here to compete with Curtis Samuel. I think he's here to potentially compete with Josh Palmer.
Or be depth for Palmer and Coleman, right? Just another guy that could play on the outside regularly.
There's a real argument to be made he's your second best receiver.
Well, because, right, Samuel, he can beat man coverage. He did that against the Broncos last year on that long touchdown play where he scores after, but there are plays with Samuel behind the line of scrimmage and using him in motion and using him in ways that you use Shakir.
I think they'll use him more in those instances this year than they did last year. I do think that the turf toe injury really affected him probably for the first 8 to 12 games.
Yeah, so I don't think there is any part of me that thinks he's on the bubble.
Agreed.
He did get used more in the playoffs. I would expect him to be on the roster and him to be used somewhat. Kincaid, I mean, I am more and more thinking about him being a Zach Ertz-like tight end. I don't see the physical traits that would make him anything more than that. And that, by the way, is not to say that that's not a productive player. Ertz, you can argue how good he actually was, or he's just a volume guy. But he had 100 targets for Philadelphia 5 years in a row.
Yeah.
And had the one big year with 116 catches for 1,100 yards. And again, like, I would have never considered him one of the best tight ends in football, because what's the reputation of Zach Ertz? He'll catch a 6-yard pass and fall down, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's literally a Twitter account of, did Zach Ertz break a tackle today? And the answer in the tweet is always, no, he did not. So he doesn't give you that. And I think Kincaid does give you more of that with the ball in his hands. Like, I think he can create some. But, right, like, he's not particularly fast.
No.
I think at his Utah Pro Day, he ran like a 4.6. So I don't have this elite speed. He, size-wise, like, height, all right, he's fine. He's not Darren Waller, though. He's not 6'7". And we know he's not built like a George Kittle-type guy, because what did the Bills say at the end of the season? They wanted him to put on more bulk, more muscle. And that's for, you know, lasting through the year. So what do I have in Kincaid?
Just described Kyle Pitts with better PR.
Maybe. But Pitts even has that elite, is supposed to have that elite speed for a tight end that's almost like a wide receiver.
Yeah.
For Kincaid, I feel like what he's going to settle into as a top, if he's going to be a top tight end in the league, is it's going to be in the route running, the nuances of the position. He sits down in soft zones, and him and Allen are just symbiotic on that, like that type of play, more than, oh, I've got Kincaid matched up on a linebacker, I got to exploit that one-on-one down the field. I don't think that's Dalton Kincaid.
Well, let me ask you this. What's his best case scenario this year in terms of pecking order? Is it second?
Well, best case is he's first.
I don't think that's bad. I don't think
you don't
he's
think
first.
Possible?
I don't think he'll ever be first with Khalil Shakir on the team.
Shakir,
I think Shakir is your number one guy.
Ooh, I don't, like, I would bet Shakir is their leading receiver, but 76 catches for 821 yards and 4 touchdowns. I think Kincaid can top that. That's Shakir last year. You don't think Kincaid can top that? I think that's gettable. Unless you think Shakir is going to elevate from those numbers.
I do think Shakir elevates from the numbers. Because I think he showed more towards the end of the season, and they showed that he was kind of their best deep threat, too. It wasn't just the guy they were throwing screen passes to. He started to stretch the field.
There was a little of that. He had a play against
the Rams game.
He had a play like that against the Ravens.
And the Rams.
On the opening drive, there was a Rams play, the wheel route down the sideline. So there was a little of that. But I think Kincaid could be a player where, this is where I don't think he's ever going to be an elite tight end. Because the elite tight ends, they could put up 1,000-yard seasons every year.
Yeah.
I think Kincaid will have one or two. I think he'll get to 1,000 in his career. But I would not expect him to do it regularly.
Would you say, though, that if he was going to get 1,000 yards, this would probably have to be the season if he's going to do it in Buffalo?
I don't know. Like, that's where I'm willing to be patient with him on that, because I do think the typical route for tight ends is they do take a little bit of time. And there are a lot of examples of players that even in their third year don't really pop off.
Yeah.
And then they kind of figure it out after the fact. Guys that went in the first round. I'm thinking of Evan Engram for this. Evan Engram, actually, if you look at his career, I'm looking right now, it was like his sixth year before he finally popped.
Yeah.
When he got to Jacksonville. Is Eric Ebron another good example of this? Like first round pick that kind of started a little slow.
Those guys were also with bad quarterback play.
I mean,
and then got to good quarterback play, and then he looked better when he finally had a good quarterback.
Ebron had Stafford. I mean, that's not like the worst.
Yeah.
It was his fifth year where he finally went for 110 targets, 750 yards, and 13 touchdowns.
Was that in Pittsburgh?
That was in Indy. With 2018 Indy, is that Andrew Luck?
That's Andrew Luck.
Maybe the last year of Andrew Luck, or one of the last years. So, sure, I'd like to see it this year from Kincaid, because every year that passes, you would think it's less and less likely that he'll ever turn into that dominant tight end.
Yeah,
I would tell you right now, I'm already writing him off for ever being a dominant tight end. I think he could be a really good one for a long time, but I guess I would be surprised without the elite speed, without the elite size, if he ever becomes like first team all pro, Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Trey McBride level. Like this is one of the best three tight ends in football. My bet would be he's always just a little bit below that, which could be fine, by the way. Like you would pay that guy. I think if he's the sixth best tight end in football for the next 10 years, you would give that guy an extension.
I think so.
I would.
I would think I'd like to see them use him in the screen game less.
I definitely agree with that. There's a lot of him in the screen game.
Or if not, just not the slip screen game or the bubble screen game. Like if you want to get him the ball like the Chiefs get Kelce the ball with those like mid screens behind offensive linemen, where it's not like I have to break a tackle, but instead I've got lead blockers. Them using him like Shakir is sometimes very weird to me.
803-0550, if you want to get a quick call. And we've got Ed McGrogan coming up from the Tennis Channel at 9 o'clock. Talk some Wimbledon. He's also a huge Bills fan, so we'll get his thoughts on training camp and the upcoming season. When we come back, the new quarterback season is out on Netflix, and Kirk Cousins had a little bit of a revealing comment about his time in Atlanta, which, by the way, is still ongoing. He's still a Falcon, even though he doesn't want to be. A little of that when we come back here on WGR.